Good morning, everyone. You know, I walked in the door this morning and I said, where is everybody? Most of you were out in the parking lot still, right? Was that the deal? It's good to see so many here this morning. And I know a lot of folks are traveling and vacationing and such. And it's such a pleasure to be able to travel and be away from home and yet come to be with God's family on the Lord's Day, worship together. So if you're a stranger, you're not a stranger, are you? No, you're not. You're in God's family. And welcome. And welcome here. My name is Bill McKay. My wife's name is Karen, for those of you who don't know me. I drew the short straw today. I thought Mark drew the short straw to lead singing, but I come and found out. And I said, I heard you drew the short straw this morning to lead singing. He didn't say anything. And then I found out it was Jason that drew the short straw. He was the lead singing. So you're going to have, Jason, you're going to have to buy Mark's lunch for him today. We're going to be in the book of Romans today, this morning. I have found that Romans is one of those great letters of Paul that we probably don't study as much as we ought to. You know, God's word is so vast, so big, that we can all spend a lifetime studying God's word and never fill up. I don't remember who it was that told me when I was in school sometime is that studying God's word is like trying to take a straw and drain the Atlantic Ocean. That's the way it is. And so there's so many places that we can focus and study and sometimes leave other ones out. I would encourage you not to leave the book of Romans out of your study. And I'm hoping this morning that I can share a lesson with you from the book of Romans that I really think is valuable in a great degree to all of us. And there's a lot in Romans. God is mentioned 153 times in the book of Romans. Not to mention Jesus Christ or the word Lord in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, the word righteousness is used a great deal. Grace is mentioned a great deal in the book of Romans. Mercy is mentioned a great deal in the book of Romans. And of course, faith is mentioned a great deal in the book of Romans. I'd like to begin our reading for our lesson this morning in Romans chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles with you and you want to read along, go ahead and turn to chapter 3 because we're going to be reading from there and then looking also in Romans chapter 4. I don't want to keep going back and forth. Can everybody hear me if I'm out here? I'm not too loud, right? Okay, well, good. All right. This is Romans chapter 3 and beginning in verse 20. Paul says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Paul is talking primarily in that verse to the Jew in particular. You know, in the book of Romans, everybody has a different view of what the purpose of Paul's writing in the book of Romans is all about. And there's a whole list of commentators that say it's this or it's that, it's this or it's that. But I really think it boils down, in my estimation, is to, you know, the church had a real struggle in first century with regard to relationships in the body of Christ with regard to Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were always judging the Gentiles. And so this was a real struggle as the church began to develop and grow. Relationships mixed with brethren of Jews and Gentiles worshiping together. And the Jews were always saying, you know, well, they need to be circumcised. We know all of that. That's throughout the book of Acts, a lot of the struggles that Paul had going into the synagogue and Jews rejecting it because the gospel was going to the Gentiles so rapidly. Thank God for that, because guess what? We're Gentiles. And so Paul addresses this in the book of Romans in a big way, because what he really wants to do is he wants to bring the church together, both Jews and Gentiles. So one of the first things he does as he begins in this letter, he will say in these verses, this is God's conclusion or God's word, therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Sin. But now, a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Therefore, there's no difference, parentheses, between all of you folks. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Boy, there's your answer. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand, i.e., Old Testament, unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and to be the one who justifies, listen carefully, those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is the boast? Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? We know the answer to that one, don't we? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised, i.e. the Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcised, parentheses, Gentiles, through that same faith. You get the idea that Paul's talking about faith in these few verses? He is. As a matter of fact, in these verses, I believe that Jesus Christ obviously is the central focus of it, is it not? But above and beyond that, perhaps, it has to do with the righteousness that comes from God. It has to do with the righteousness, like verse 22 says, the righteousness that is through faith. And the justification that came by the grace of God. That reminds me of Paul's words in Ephesians, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Period. And then it has to do with redemption. We talk about redemption. And that redemption, as it says in verse 24, came by Jesus Christ. The message is still the same. Christ is everything. And your faith in Him is everything. Because without your faith, there's no righteousness in the sight of God. There's no justification for you in the sight of God. You have not received the grace of God. You've not received the forgiveness of God. And you certainly have never received the salvation that God says is your gift. And then he says, and he, that is Christ, was presented by God as a sacrifice of atonement. We just celebrated that sacrifice. We just celebrated the remembrance of this very thing, what Christ has done to justify us in the sight of God. Therefore, as verse 26 says, God justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You realize that God's people are the only ones who can sing hallelujah. It's interesting that in this verse, faith is used eight times in just 10 short verses. Faith, 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 faith. And as a matter of fact, if you were to turn the pages in the book of Romans, faith is used 40 times in the book of Romans. You want to know about righteousness? You want to know about grace? You want to know about what Christ has done? You want to know what faith is all about? Read Romans. Study Romans. It'll tell you all about what faith is. And as a matter of fact, Paul's introduction to the book of Romans is one of the great key verses in the book that kind of lays the foundation and the groundwork for what's coming in the book, is this verse right here. Paul says, "For in the gospel," we've heard that word a lot, haven't we? "In the gospel, And by the way, that's the gospel is good news. It's really good news. It's the best news you and I will ever hear. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. In other words, in the gospel, the righteousness of God, we're not talking about God's righteousness, we're talking about a righteousness that God credits those who have faith in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. In the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. It's made known. It's opened up. You don't know what it is, and I'm fixing to tell you. That's what Paul is saying in that verse. And this is what it's all about. You want to look at it? You want to see what it looks like? That's what we're going to do. I only got 15 minutes, and there's a lot here. Anyway, back to it. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness, I want to hear you say it. If you know it, hold on just a second. Okay, hold on. A righteousness that is by, what's the blank? What is it? Faith. A righteousness that is by faith. How can God do that? You know, sometimes I don't even know if I've got mustard seed faith or not. You ever think that way? I'm just glad that passage is there. When Jesus says, if you've got enough faith as a mustard seed, just a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Well, when you have enough mustard seed faith to call and confess that Jesus is your Lord, you're there. You're there. It is by faith from first to last. In other words, from the beginning of it to the end of it. Your righteousness in relationship with God begins with faith, it goes through faith, and it ends with faith. And you better have it when you get there, when your life is over. Because it's from first to last, beginning to end. And then Paul will quote an Old Testament passage that's one of the most powerful in the book of the Old Testament. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2. The righteous will live by faith. Faith is everything. It is everything. In chapter 4 of the book of Romans, Romans reveals, I think, and it's only because God put it there. In chapter 4 of Romans, it reveals the most significant characteristic of our understanding of this kind of faith that we're talking about. Okay, here we go. At what level are we talking? Is it here, 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 here? How much do I have? Well, chapter 4 tells you what it is. And it's more simple than you think it is. It's not that complicated. It's all about how Abraham, who is called in God's word the father of faith. Now we know Abel had faith because he offered a sacrifice to God that was more pleasing than Cain. Scripture says he had faith. Talking over the book of Hebrews, you got faith, you got Enoch, you got Abraham, you got Moses, and a whole list of those that had faith. And we look at those and we go, I don't know if I got that kind of faith. I don't know if I got the kind of faith Moses has got. I don't know if I got the kind of faith Abraham has got, because didn't Abraham, wasn't he willing to sacrifice his own son? I don't think I'm there. Does that mean you don't have it? Does that mean that God has not credited you righteousness? Does it mean that you're not a child of God because you don't have that kind of faith when Abraham was 130 years old to sacrifice his only son? He'd been walking with God 50 years when he did that. I hope your faith and I hope my faith is bigger when I'm older than when I started. Don't you? Yes, it is. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're a child of God when you confess Christ here and then 10 years later, your faith that you're not a child of God anymore. I'm going off the deep end here. It happens to preachers sometimes. But it's how Abraham was justified by faith. And here is how he was justified by his faith. This is in chapter 4, and it's verses 1 through 3. So, Paul says, what shall we say that Abraham our father discovered in this matter? In this matter of what? In this matter of his righteousness being declared by God, that his faith, God credited him righteousness. I like that word. I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it sometimes, but I like it. It says, if in fact Abraham was justified by his works, he would have something to boast about. But not before God. And neither can you. And neither can I. Well, what does the scripture say? That's a good place to start. What does the scripture say about this? Paul says, quote, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's it. Now, Paul is going to tell you about the gospel. He's going to tell you about God's righteousness. And he's going to use Abraham as an example. And he's going to quote an Old Testament passage in the life of Abraham where God credited righteousness to Abraham because of his faith. Period. Abraham believed God. Raise your hand if you believe God. Just put your hand up. There you go. That's it. And it was credited to him as righteousness. This is the very first time that this was ever said of Abraham in Scripture, in his life, by God, in the context of his life. And it's a direct quote from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. For what God did when he promised Abraham that his son was going to be an heir. It was after he met with Melchizedek, and Abraham's been in the land for a while. And Abraham says, Lord, I don't have any kids. So Eleazar is going to be my heir. He's going to get all my stuff. Right now. God says, nope, that's not going to happen. I got a plan. And my plan is you're going to have a son. And you know what the scripture says? After God told him that, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's the moment. Now later on, after Ishmael is born, God says, this must be the guy. Because I just had a son. God said back here 14 years ago, 15 years ago, that I was going to have, and I believed, and I'm credited righteousness. I'm walking with God. I'm walking by faith. God says, nope, Ishmael's not the guy. You're going to have a son, and Sarah's going to have a son. Whoa, wait a minute now. Sarah's, she can't have a son. She's too old to have a son. I'm too old to have a son. And God says, yes, you've got to have a son. The next time God uses this word, God credited him righteousness, the scripture says, and Abraham believed God. And then in the next few verses it says, believe in the promise of God. Raise your hand if you believe in the promise of God. Put it up there. There you go. That's faith. That's the faith. God says, by my grace and my gift, I credit you righteousness. That's it. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Well, hold on just a second. What about believing in Jesus? Does that require faith? Or do you just somehow like Jesus? Or do you have faith in Jesus? You have faith in Jesus and who he is. You believe he's the Son of God, don't you? You believe he went to the cross. You believe all those things. Folks, that's faith. Very simple. It's not complicated. But you know what we want to do? We want to say, God's gift and God's grace and my right is not enough. Surely not, because I'm so sinful sometimes. I don't always think like I should. I don't always pray like I should. I always do this like I should. Guess what? You better quit. You better quit trying to punch the card that says when I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, then I'm good to go. Because if you do, you're trying to be justified by works. And it will never, ever, ever justify you before God. Because God justifies you by his grace and his gift. It is a gift. And you can't earn a gift. You can't earn the gift of righteousness. It's impossible. Don't we realize that? Folks, this lesson is for me. It really is. It's for me. And I'm glad that God has given this example of Abraham that just simply... Well, what about Isaac? What about when he sacrificed Isaac? Didn't that get him in the door? If you believe that, then you have to take everything that Abraham did up to that point and just throw it out the window. To say, that's why Abraham was the friend of God. Because he was willing to do that. No, that wasn't the card that Abraham had to punch for God. It just was an example of how much faith he had. And let me tell you where that faith really opened the door. Abraham believed that God
who raised his son from the dead. Now that's real faith. It's life after death. Go door knocking one of these days, knock on the door and say, do you believe in eternal life? How many of those kind of looks do you think you'd get at the door? It takes a lot of faith for that, doesn't it? But you believe it, don't you? And I believe it. But God has done that for us as we've grown in our faith because we believe in the promises of God. Let me conclude. I'm going to skip a couple of things, but I want to mention another point in Romans chapter 4, and that is the word credited. Now, I'm going to read something about credited just to kind of maybe drive this point home about trying to earn your salvation, because that's what Jews are trying to do. If you can't do it, neither can we. It's in chapter 4 where Paul says, now, when a man works, and of course you have to kind of look at this as being works for his salvation, this would be the application. If a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift. I know there's people in here that have worked and worked long hours. And I will tell you this, when it comes time to get your paycheck, you don't go in the door doing this, do you? Not unless you didn't show up for work. No. I can stand up straight when I go to my employer. When it comes to payday, guess what? I appreciate my job. Don't get me wrong. You appreciate your employer, too. But you don't go there asking for your paycheck, so to speak, as a gift. Because you earned it. And your employer knows you earned it. And if your employer doesn't pay you what he owes you, hear that word, owe you, then guess what? Your employer can be in pretty serious trouble. So that's what it means in this verse here. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, and I'm going to put in parentheses for his salvation, but trust God who justifies the wicked, that's us, by the way, his faith is credited as righteousness. And you don't buy righteousness. It's credited. So that's another word in chapter 4 that is so important, is the word credited. And interesting enough, it's used in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 22, and verse 23. It's used 9 times. So keep that in mind. And last but not least, is that in this context right here, not only did Abraham understand this, that God credited righteousness by his faith, Abraham's a good character in God's word, is he not? He did his bit. What about David? David, pretty big fellow with God. Yep, he's a man after God's own heart, right? Listen to what David says about this. Listen to what David said. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness. Now Paul's going to quote David. So if you don't believe Abraham, yeah, leave that best, just leave it. Here's what David said. That God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man whom the Lord will never count against him. Now that strikes your mind. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will never count your sins against you. Never count your sins against you.
How does he do that?
I'll tell you how he did it. He did it by the atoning sacrifice of his only begotten Son. Jesus paid the price and shed his blood for your sins and for mine. And that's how God can credit you righteousness for your faith in him and what he did and in his Son. That's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Paul says, for in the gospel, the righteousness from God is revealed. The righteousness, it is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Our response to God's grace in Christ begins with faith. It can be a mustard seed faith. Still faith. And it's not hard. God's invitation is this. Put your faith in God and in his promises and in his word. And if you're not a Christian and you're burdened with the guilt of sin and shame, the blood of Christ and the grace of God can give you the peace that only God can give and will give if you'll believe in him. So I'll stand and say to you,